In the last few months, I have become a political news junkie. Usually I'm the kind of person who can go for days without even turning on the television. But now most evenings you will find me nested in a corner of the couch, flipping from one news channel to the next, trying to catch all the latest updates from the campaign trail. For the first time, in 27 years of marriage, I have claimed ownership of the remote control. I've learned a lot about the economy and the economic plans of one sort or another during my late night vigils. We are all concerned about the economy, and for good reason. And I recognize that the last thing you want to hear about in church is more about the economy. But like it or not, every fall, as we put together a church budget for the upcoming year, it's our duty to remind you that along with all the other demands on your ever-shrinking dollars, Wildwood Presbyterian Church needs money, too. Well, I thought I'd take a new approach this year and apply some of our political candidates' economic plans to our stewardship drive. So without consulting the Stewardship and Mission Committee at all, this is news to them as well, I've come up with a couple of economic plans for the church that I'd like to present to you this morning. So here are your pledge options for 2009. Option number one, using Senator Obama's tax plan, only those of you who make over $250,000 a year will have your pledge amounts increased. The rest of us will only have to pledge what we're pledging right now. Option number two, using Senator McCain's health care plan. At the start of 2009, you will receive a check from the church for $5,000 to cover all your church expenses. Well, only your church expenses. You don't get to keep the change. And option number three, oh, let's just scrap all the pledge plans and eliminate the budget altogether and throw it out and just see what happens. Well, there's a catch to all these options. You knew there would be. But in order for any one of them to work, we're going to have to make a few changes in the way the church does things. The most significant change is that we're going to have to start charging for goods and services provided. So here are just a few examples of what you can expect on our new plan. Parking space will cost $10 per hour of use. Pews are $5 with a family maximum of $30. Worship bulletins, a bargain at $1 each. Or you can subscribe at the special discount rate of $25 a year. Donut holes will be priced at 25 cents a piece, and each person will be limited to 2 per Sunday. If you exceed your limit, you will be fined. Coffee and tea is a bargain, $1.50 a cup. You won't find that anywhere else, but there will be additional charges for cream and sugar and no free refills. Coin locks will be installed in the toilets, so don't forget to bring your quarters. You're going to need them after you finish all your coffee and tea. When the Sunday school children or youth fellowships use the cinema room, tickets will be sold at $2 a piece, and that popcorn will no longer be free. You know, that's still cheaper than renting a movie from Blockbuster. Prayer requests will be charged a modest fee of 50 cents each, $3 for $1 on the fourth Sunday of each month. Oh, I'm joking. I know the economy is no laughing matter. People are hurting. People in all walks of life and economic levels, and it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better. My pitiful attempts at humor are prompted by my hesitation to even talk about money when our national economy is in such a frightening and precarious state. It's embarrassing to have to get up here and say, we need your money. But the church has to have a budget in order to function properly, and our stewardship committee needs a pledge drive so that we can plan and prepare a responsible budget for the coming year. We recognize that there are many demands on your income, so the church isn't going to demand anything from you. We simply encourage you to give to the church, prompted by your faith and your love for God. We hope you will give because you believe in the good that the church can do for you and for others who come through our doors and through the community and the world and people who are hurting out there more than we are. We ask those of you to give who can because we know there are some who can't. We ask you to give because we believe the Bible is right when it says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be as well. A week ago Wednesday, we sat at a dining room table in a modest home in California. The view from our seats was breathtaking. Gorgeous, sherbet-colored clouds of orange and yellow streaking the sky as the sun set over the Pacific Ocean. But even more beautiful was the view around the table where Greg and I sat and feasted on food and friendship. At either end of the table sat Jan and Don, the couple who were my high school youth advisors when I first started attending church 37 years ago. They are the dearest people you could ever meet. Across from me on the other side sat Dottie, who also volunteered with my youth group and who baked our wedding cake. All these years later, still the most delicious cake we've ever had. Dottie's husband, Marshall, would have been there too, but he died this past February at the age of 90. Marshall was my earliest mentor. He gave me my very first paying job, working at his art shop when I was 16 years old. In a strange twist of fate, all three of our kids live a half hour from where I grew up in Los Angeles. And when Greg and I travel out there to see our kids, Don and Jan's home becomes our home away from home. And the little Presbyterian church there in San Pedro, California, where Jan and Don and Dottie belong and where I was ordained 25 years ago this week, it was the first church I ever attended. It was the church that started me on my ministry, nurturing my late-blooming spirit and sponsoring church lunches to help pay some of my expenses when I left California for New Jersey to get a degree in Christian education with no idea nor any intention of ever becoming a minister. And so as we sat there at that table, I was reminiscing about all this and how beautiful and amazing it was that my life had circled around the way that it had, and that the people who had been so integral to my faith all those years ago are now family to our growing kids. And Dottie just sat there and she smiled as she's prone to do, her wonderful smile, and she said, "Well, that's God's economy." I love that phrase, God's economy. The rest of the night we talked about God's economy. And God's economy is so different from the world's economy. God's economy is about loving God with your whole heart and soul and mind and strength. It's about loving one another because God first loved us. It's about forgiving because in Christ, God has forgiven us. God's economy. It's about what we've already been given in Jesus Christ. God's economy is giving to the church so that we can worship in this beautiful sanctuary where our hearts are lifted up and our spirits are filled week after week. But God's economy is also about giving so that on Tuesday nights, men, women, and yes, a lot of children who have no home are provided with a safe, warm place to sleep in our gym, given three hot meals and a shower. God's economy is having Bibles in all the pews and listening to the Word of God preached on Sunday morning, and it's the joy we have on the faces of children when they receive their first Bible in worship. and it's our gratitude for those who are living in places far away from home, bringing the word of God to people who otherwise might not hear it. God's economy is sitting in a hospital room holding the hand of somebody else's father, knowing that 1,000 miles away, someone is doing the same thing for your dad. That's God's economy. It's putting our heart and our soul, our dearest treasures in God's hands, because where our treasure is, there will our hearts be also. For 54 years now, people have been practicing God's economy at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. It started in the days before there ever even was a church, when a handful of people met at a pink beach house down on Gage's Lake, not knowing exactly what God was going to do, but believing that God wanted them to start a church here. We are all of us, the beneficiaries of the faithfulness of countless people we will never know. People who have kept that early vision alive through all these many years. Craig and I are so grateful that God led us to Wildwood Presbyterian Church to serve you as fellow pilgrims along the way. You have suffered with us our deepest sorrows and celebrated many of our greatest joys. You have blessed us in more ways than we can ever begin to count. And we pray that the work that all of us are doing here today will be a blessing to people 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 years from now. It's God's economy, past, present, and future. We are all one in the Spirit of Christ. Well, now that I think about it, why should I be afraid to stand up here and ask you to invest in the church? You know, it would be selfish of me not to ask you to share in the blessings of God's economy. It will change your life and the lives of other people you don't even know. The interest rate just goes up and up and up. Why, I think it's the best deal in town. My name is Kathy Bostrom, and I approve this message. Will you pray with me? Lord, you have given us so much through the love you have for us in Christ that has been lived out in this church and other churches that have been part of our lives through the years and will be in the future. You ask us to invest in your love, not knowing how that will play out over the years, but trusting that in your economy, all things will be made new and whole. You will use us in ways we can never even imagine. So thank you for letting us invest our hearts in you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and let all God's people say, Amen.